And we're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis by the Mishnah, bottom of the Amud. Mishnah says, "Zebab, you have two people walking down the street in opposite directions. One of them carrying a barrel, as before, a barrel made out of earthenware, so it's breakable. And the other one is coming carrying a beam. And Rashi adds a poga zebaze, and one of them bumped into another. In other words, we had a head-on collision over here. Each one is walking in an opposite direction, and they banged one into another. It's a nishbara, and the result is the barrel that one is carrying broke against the other one's beam, potter, and then he's potter, which is to say both of them are potter, because each one has an equal right to walk in rishus rabim, so neither one did anything unusual that we should be mechayev him for. On the other hand, what if the one carrying the beam was going first and then the one carrying the chobis was behind him? So here we're talking about they're going in the same direction. Then nishbara chobis bakoda potu bala koda. If the barrel breaks against the beam, then the owner of the beam is potter, because it means, in other words, that the other guy was walking too fast. He should have paid attention that there's somebody with a beam ahead of him. And he should have slowed down. But if the one who's carrying the beam stopped and then the other guy crashed into him, chayev, then he would be chayev because he shouldn't have stopped in Rosh Hashanah. As we talked about yesterday, there might be a difference between why he stood, whether he stood still in order to adjust his load, or whether we're talking about that he just stopped in order to rest, where we said to stop to rest is carelessness, whereas to stop to adjust his load may not necessarily be. Tosfos talks about over here that now the Gemara is going to be mentioning the point that we learned yesterday as well, that that the we're talking about that the beam is blocking the entire width of the road. Otherwise, we would say that the owner of the chobis, maybe even if the first guy stopped, maybe the owner of the chobis should be walking on the other side of the street rather than end up walking and then and bumping into him and causing damage. In which case, Tosfos asks actually the next case of the Mishnah is the other way around. If the guy with the barrel is walking in front, then we have similar dinim. But in the case of a barrel, you certainly can't say that he's blocking the entire width of the street with his barrels. It's not big enough for that. So the answer. So Tosfos actually ends up saying. Tosfos ends up saying actually that the fact is, when the first person stops suddenly, then the one walking behind him is not always going to be able to stop and make sure that and make sure he doesn't bump into him, because as we've learned before, a person doesn't always walk, a person doesn't always see what's in front of him all the time. So therefore, so so even if the so if the so 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 like this, he says, when the beam is not across the entire width of the road, then to begin with, he should make sure the guy carrying the barrel should make sure to walk on the other side of the street. But when the one who's carrying the beam is going, when the beam is across the entire width of the road, then you don't have that option. So then, therefore, then we can talk about whether the one carrying the beam stopped first. In the case with one carrying the in the case with the one carrying the pot carrying the barrel is going first, then you could have we could say maybe that the other guy should have walked on the other side. But again, it depends how he's carrying his beam, whether he's carrying it across the whole Rosh Hashanah, in which case, regardless, whatever side he walks on, he's going to be he's gonna have to he may bump into the other guy versus not. So Tosfos draws that distinction. So continues the mission of Vim Omar Baal Chobis Amud. If so, we said if the one carrying the beam stopped, then we said he's chayev when the other guy crashes into him. However, if he called out to the one carrying the barrel, Amud, stop, because I've stopped, potter, then he's potter, because like we learned yesterday, then he gave the warning and now it's the other guy's fault if he didn't pay attention. the other way around, what about if it was the other way around? The one carrying the barrel was walking in front, and the one carrying the beam was walking behind. And the barrel was broken by the beam. Then chayev, then the owner of the beam is going to be chayev, because again, it means he walked too fast. Beam omer bal chavis potter. If the owner of the chavis stopped, then the owner of the beam would be potter, because then he couldn't have realized fast enough that the other guy had stopped. And again, like Tosfos says, since the Gemara is going to end up saying that we're talking about over here where the beam goes across the entire Rosh Hasharabim, then therefore we're talking about again that the he's carrying the beam in that way. So you can't tell him you should have walked on the other side of the street in the first place, because whatever side he walks on, it doesn't really matter. Either way, he would have. Either way, it's just a matter of seeing what's ahead of him and short stopping, and he's not always able to do that. If the owner of the barrel stopped, then he's potter, because then the one carrying the beam may not have noticed him. And if the one carrying the barrel says to the one carrying the beam, stop, then if the one with the beam continues walking and crashes into him, then he's going to be chayev, because he was warned and he should have stopped. The same kind of dinim that we just described as far as a barrel and a beam would also apply equally well when you're talking about if one of them is coming with a lamp and the other one is coming with flax, same thing. The flax can easily get set on fire by the flame, and therefore you have similar dinim whether they come at each other from opposite directions, or whether they're going the same direction, and whether one is going behind the other. Which one is going behind which one? Which one walked faster, etc. All the same kind of dinim are going to apply in this case as well. Tosfos Yom Tov points out, why does the Mishnah need to bother mentioning that? It's not like it needs to mention every possible case of one thing that could be damaged by another. So Tosfos Yom Tov points out, listen, considering that it's easier, that flax is even more easily burnt by a flame than a chavis is broken by a that if chavis is broken by a beam, you would think that maybe the one with the flame, the one with the lamp, should be extra careful, and he should be potter. He should be chayev, maybe even in some cases where had he been carrying a beam and the other guy a chavis, he'd be potter. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that no, the exact same din applies. It is true that the one who has the flame, who has the lamp, is more likely to cause damage, but precisely because of that, the one carrying the pishtan ought to be more careful to stay away from it. So that's why the Mishnah mentions that point. Marsha, by the way, deals with a point within so Tosfos had said that again there's a difference whether he's filling up the whole width of the street. And we're saying that to begin with, maybe we should say a person should have walked on the other side of the street. But now in the now further on, well, okay, you know, let's talk about it further on when we get to the other Tosfos. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. Bomine Rabba Bar Nosson Merav Huna. Rabba Bar Nosson asked Rav Huna, Hamazikas Ishne, a question which is going to relate back to our Mishnah. Hamazikas Ishne B'Tashmish Abita Mab. What would happen if a man injures his wife during Tashmish? However, you could imagine various cases, but whatever. The point is that there was. Now she's injured. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he chayev to pay for the nezek and maybe other things as well? Mefarshim deal with the question. Would he maybe, if we say he's chayev, would he be chayev for all four things? We'd say he'd be potter for boshes maybe, because we'd say he'd be potter for boshes because we learned in the previous perek you have to have kavana to cause injury in order to be chayev for boshes, and here he didn't. So maybe he'd be chayev in all four things, nezek, tzad, ripui, and sheves, or maybe not. Maybe we'd say in this particular case he'd be chayev only for nezek. So is that, or is he potter altogether? The question is, kiven de b'rishus ka'ovid potter, would we say, look, he has rishus to have relations with her, therefore you can't, so you can't say he did anything wrong, therefore you can potter him, or maybe he should have paid closer attention and made sure not to do whatever he did. Omalei, said of Huna answers, tinisuha. Well, you can answer that from our Mishnah. we said, we said in the first case of On Mishnah, where the two people have a head-on collision, we said each one has an equal right to walk in Rishus Rabim, and therefore we can't be Mechayev, either of them, for the other one's damages and the other one's injuries. So therefore, says Rav Huna, by the same token, when it comes to our case over here of the husband and wife, he had every right to be there. He had every right to be having tashmish with her. Therefore, you can pater him in the same way. But Omar Rava, but Rava says not necessarily, because kavachomer. On the contrary, you should make a kavachomer and say as follows: Umayar, consider the case of a forest. Now, when the Torah talks about the case where a person kills somebody else b'shergig and has to run away to the Orei Miklat, so the Torah talks about in a few places. One of them is in Parshas Shoftim, and the Torah gives the example that two people go into a forest and one of them is chopping wood, and then a piece of, and then something flies off and hits the other. You have a machlokas in the Gemara in Makkos, whether it means that a piece of the, that the axe head itself flew off and hit the other guy, or whether it means that a piece of wood flew off and hit the other guy. We're going to talk about it a little bit on other days as well, actually. Anyway, so in the case of a forest, shezel rishus en nichnas, vezel rishus en nichnas, each one is going into his rishus, meaning, in other words, because it's a forest, it's a place that's available for everybody to go into. Nevertheless, we say nasa kamisha nichnas l'rishus chaveiro v'chayev. Nevertheless, the one who killed b'shogig, we consider it as though he went into the other one's rishus, and therefore we're mechayev him for killing the guy b'shogig, and we make him run away to the Orei Miklat. Well, then zeh. So in this case, with the husband and wife, shalur rishus chaveiro nichnas, he went into the other person's rishus, into his wife's rishus, and caused damage. Like kol shekein, how much more so you should be mechayev him? It's not the same as rishus. It's not the same as rishus rabim over here. So the Gemara asks, well, ela hakatani shalazer rishus lahalach velazer rishus lahalach. Nu, so okay, Rava has a point. But then how is he explaining our Mishnah? In our Mishnah also, they both have an equal right to walk in Rishus Rabim. So that should be considered like a forest. And yet it's clear from the Pasuk that when the two people are in the forest and one of them injures or kills, in that case, kills the other one, then he's Chayev. The answer is Hosem Tarvayu Ka Dodi Ninu. The answer is, in the case of Rishus Rabim, both of them are on an equal level, because you can't say, given that it was a head-on collision, you can't really say that any one of them is more chayev for the injury than the for the injury or for the damage than the other, because when you get down to it, you can blame the one who was carrying the beam because his beam broke the other one's barrel. On the other hand, you could equally well blame the one who's carrying the barrel because his barrel crashed into the beam. So therefore you can say lozeru shus lahalach lozeru shus lahalach. But on the other hand, so that's over there. Hocha, but when it comes to this case of a mazik es ishim b'tash mishamita, ihu ka'ovid maisa v'hi loy, he's the one doing the maisa, she's not. Therefore, we can say, so now that's more similar to Rava's arguing, that's more similar to the case where somebody killed somebody b'shergig in a forest, where Reuven is chopping wood, Shimon didn't do anything, just the axe head or the wood banged into him and killed him. So therefore, that would be more similar to the husband and wife, where the husband is the one doing the maisa. But the Gemara says, what do you mean she's not doing a maisa? The pasuk says at the end of the section of Arayas, it says that the people who did it, who did these things, are going to get kares. And the word hanfoshos and haosos is the plural, so it means not just the man but also the woman. Anytime there's a case of anytime there's an isur erva, then both the man and the woman are equally chayev, and the pasuk is calling them oiser. So we see that both of them is considered doing. And the answer is sure. Hanol tavayu islahu. Of course, they both have hanah from it. The fact is ihu maisa dekaavid. The fact is it's only the man who's doing the maisa, and therefore, so now where Tosfos says, okay, when it comes to malchus and chatas and so forth, you can say that look, Hashem is considering, the Torah is considering the hanah to be equivalent to a maisa. But the fact is she wasn't doing a maisa because she's the passive partner. Therefore, you have more reason to be mechayev him in that case. As opposed to in our Mishnah, both of them are doing a maisa, both of them are carrying something, and
therefore we have reason, therefore we have reason to be mechayev, therefore we have reason to be mechayev both of them, which in effect means that we're patterning both of them because it all kind of washes out, one versus the other. And then Tosfos points out that so in that case, then why is the Mishnah saying shalazer shus lahalach shalazer shus lahalach? It doesn't really matter whether each one has reshus or doesn't have reshus. The fact is, we're patterning both of them. So what is the Mishnah excluding with that point? So Tosfos says, for example, if the one with the beam was running and the other one with the chavis was walking, so then we can say that as we're going to go on to say in connection with the next Mishnah, the one who's running is chayev because he did something he did something unusual. Because he has no business running in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and that was careless of him. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss that also you could be talking about a case where you could have a case where they don't have Rosh Hashanah to go. For example, let's say we're in the chotzer of the owner of the chavis. So since the owner of the koda doesn't really have Rosh Hashanah to go there in the first place, then therefore the owner of the chavis is not expected to be so careful to stay away from him. So then fine. If he stops, then we can patter the owner of the beam, but otherwise not. Continues the Gemara. Hoya bal koda rishon chula. We said you had the case where the one carrying the beam was walking first, and the one carrying the chavis was behind him. And we talked about the cases where he's the chula. We talked about the case where he stops in the middle of the street, and the other one bangs into him. So now the Gemara is going to bring a din which we've had a couple of times in the Masechta already, and see how it relates to our Mishnah. Omer Ishlok, shtei poris b'rishus rabim. You have two cows in rishus rabim. Achas revutza v'achas mahalachas. One of them is lying on the ground. The other one is walking normally. Bata mahalachas b'ravutza, if the one that's walking kicked the one that's lying down, ptura, then it's going to be potter because he has a right to walk, and therefore the kicking is also kind of like a side thing of that. Ravutza mahalachas chayeves, but if the one that was lying down kicked the one that was walking, then the owner of that lying down one will be chayev because his cow has no right to be kicking, and therefore that kicking would be a tolda of keren, and the usual rules of it would apply. So the Gemara says Lema Messiah Le. Now we have learned before. We learned previously on Daf Chaf Dalet that Rava disagreed with that and said it's one thing the owner of the lying down cow can say. Look, I understand your cow had a right to walk in the street, and therefore it walked over my cow, but it still doesn't have a right to kick it. So Rava would say that the one that walked and kicked is still chayev for the kicking. He'd just be potter if in the course of walking over the other animal, which as we're going to discuss in the Gemara now, whether it had an option to walk someplace else in the street. But it has a right to walk there. It doesn't have a right to kick, says Rava. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Lema Messiah Le. Can we say that our Mishnah supports Resh Lakish? Because our Mishnah tells, Hoya Bal Kora Rishin or Bal Chavis Acharin, if you have the one carrying the beam is walking first and the one carrying the Chavis is behind him, Nishbara Chavis Bakora Potter. We said if the barrel breaks against the beam, then the owner of the beam is Potter because it means that the one carrying the barrel was walking too fast. But we said if the one carrying the beam stopped in the middle of the street, then he's chayev for the damages. Now this kind of case would be similar to the case where one animal that's lying down, where we have one animal that's lying down and another one that's walking, in the sense that the one carrying the beam is like the Ravutza. He's all of a sudden stopping there in Rosh Hasharabim. The other one is like the Mahalachas, is like the cow that's walking, where it has every right to walk. Vikatoni Chayev. And we're saying that the Ravutza, the one who stopped over there, is Chayev for the damages to the other one. So that would be similar to the cow that's lying down kicking the one that's walking. So Resh Lakish is saying that the one that's lying down and kicked is chayev because it's doing something unusual and it has no right to kick. Well, that seems to fit exactly with our Mishnah, where the one carrying the beam is doing something unusual and he had no right to stop, and therefore we can be mechayev. So can we say that our Mishnah bears out Rish Lakish's point. But the Gemara says, the Tispera, do you think so? Do you think that that's so? You want to try to bring a proof from our Mishnah to Rish Lakish? On the contrary, you have a problem with it. Not only does the Mishnah not support Rish Lakish, as a matter of fact, if you analyze the Mishnah, you're going to come out with a kasha on Rish Lakish. Because what are you saying? Time of debata, the only reason Rish Lakish is Machayev, the owner of the lying down cow, is because it kicked, which is something unusual. It sounds like if the animal is just lying over there and the other one tripped over it, let's say, Potter, then it sounds like, according to Rish Lakish, the one who owns the owner of the lying down cow will be Potter. Well, v'hamas nisin d'memela. In our Mishnah, the owner of the beam is not doing anything. He's not taking his beam and moving it deliberately to bang into the other guy's chavis. He's just standing over there, and the other guy crashes into him. V'katoni chayev, and the Mishnah says he's chayev. So therefore, so on the contrary, then the case of our Mishnah seems to go against what Rish Lakish is saying. And the answer is, you could say no, mas nisin d'poska l'urcha k'shulda, because you can be talking about that in our Mishnah. Why in our Mishnah he's blocking the entire Rosh Hashanah like a carcass, as we talked about yesterday. The word shulda is an Aramaic word for a carcass. So meaning, in other words, the beam takes up the entire width of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if he stopped, you can be mechayev him, because now the other guy had no alternative. He couldn't walk around him because there is no around. He couldn't walk on the other side of the street or something. He didn't have the chance to stop because this guy carrying the beam stopped suddenly. So therefore you can be mechayev the owner of the beam. Hocha, as opposed to in Rish Lakish's case, you can say going to Rava b'chad Gisa, you can say that the animal that's lying down is lying down on one side of the street, and you could argue Boilov Sagui b'idach Gisa. So you could argue that the other animal that's walking should have walked on the other side of the street. So therefore, you can say if it chose to walk on this side and it tripped over the one that's lying down, you can't be mechayev the owner of the one that's lying down, because you can say, who says that your animal had to go davka over here? So only when the one that was lying down kicked it, then you can say that he's chayev, because now kicking is something unusual and it had no right to do that. Tosfos points out now over here that yesterday we learned about the case. You have the potters who are walking one behind another in Rosh Hashanah, and we said that we have the case over there where you had a whole pile up. You had Reuven tripped, and then Shimon tripped over Reuven, and Levi over Shimon, and so forth. We don't say they should have walked on other sides of the street. And there we said, in the end, when the person fell down, when Reuven fell down, we said we could be talking about that he was lying there with a shoulder, that he was lying there like a carcass across the entire street. But to begin with, when they were walking, he wasn't doing that. So Tosfos says that, no, what it is, once he fell and the other one behind him may not notice him, then you can't say anymore. Then you don't have the excuse of saying you could have walked on the other side of the street. So as long as, in other words, in our mission, everybody's still upright, nobody fell down. Therefore, we can tell him, you know what, if my beam is not blocking the entire street, if I'm walking on one side of the street, then you, the owner of the barrel, maybe should have walked on the other side, and then we never would have crashed one into another. But unless the beam is filling up the entire Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to in that case over there where one of them fell down, then you have a valid reason to say, well, he fell down and therefore I didn't notice him and therefore I went down also. Now Marsha points out that actually these Tosfos over here on this Amud seem to be contradicting each other, at least, because first earlier in the first Tosfos on the Amud is saying that to begin with, you should be walking on the other side of the street. And he's saying that only when the guy is carrying the beam across the entire width of the street, then you have to make sure, then you have no choice. You're not able, any side of the street you go on, you're still going to be behind the beam. And therefore, you have the dinim of our Mishnah. Whereas here, Tosfos is saying that even when the potters are walking, in yesterday's case, if the potter is walking, we don't expect them to begin with to walk on other sides of the street. So what is it? Are you responsible to walk to begin with on a different side, so you're not directly behind somebody else, or are you not? So Marsha ends up saying that, listen, you know, I mean, it's not very common for people to fall down, so therefore you could say, that so you don't expect, you can't expect him to assume that the other guy in front of him is going to fall down. So therefore, and then when he falls down, you may not notice him right away. Here, to begin with, you have someone is carrying a beam. You who are carrying a barrel, realize that if your barrel bumps into his beam, your barrel is going to get the worst of it. So therefore, to begin with, you ought to be walking on the other side of the street. So that's the distinction, that, and also the guy might have to adjust his load in the middle and so forth, and therefore it would be different. You could patter the one carrying the beam if he stopped in order to adjust his load, or if he wound or whatever. For that matter, the Pnei Yeshua says, you know, we learned at the beginning of the Perek that if somebody puts a barrel in Rosh Hashanah Abim and somebody else trips over it, so we said the owner of the barrel is Chayev. So the question, you could ask the same thing, why doesn't the person just see the barrel and walk around it? And the Pnei Yeshua gives an answer similar based on what Marsha is saying over here, the same way as Marsha is saying over here, that with the potters walking one behind the other, it's not likely that one of them is going to trip, and therefore to begin with, the other one doesn't have to make sure to not walk behind him. The same way, people don't expect there to be barrels in the road, and therefore you don't expect them to notice it. And b'chlal, we learned earlier in the parak, we said ain darkin shem ne'adam leisbonin b'drachim. Tosfos had drawn the distinction over there. Animals are different because they look downward. A person looks upward, or a person is thinking, or whatever the different distinctions that we learned the other day, and therefore. Therefore, the point is, he's not expected to notice something unexpected in the road and to detour around it. So the Gemara says, "Ela sefer demasnisin mesayle l'rishlosh." Fine. So we can't say that we can't say that. And by the way, Tosfos points out that after all, you know, if the second animal has reshus to walk on top of the first one, fine, you know, so it has reshus to walk. So therefore, but you could still say any damages that were caused maybe would be regal. And as far as the fact that the other one kicked, then you're Mashana in the first place. You're doing an unusual thing because we're saying you should have walked on the other side of the street. And therefore, if you didn't, we can patter the one who had the lying down cow, because fine, his cow shouldn't have laid down Rosh Hashanah Abim, but on the other hand, your cow didn't have to walk Dafka on that side. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Ela sefer demasnisin mesayle l'rishlokish." Fine, we can't prove Rishlokish's point from the ratio of our Mishnah, because, like we said, you have the distinction that in Rishlokish's case, if the lying down cow was injured by the walking one, then, or the other way around, actually, if the one that's walking tripped over the lying down one, the implication of Resh Lakish is that he'd be potter, whereas in the case of our Mishnah, when the one carrying the beam stops, then he's chayev for the other one's injuries. So fine, we can't prove Resh Lakish's point from the Mishnah. We can draw the distinction between whether our Mishnah is talking about blocking the entire Resh Lakish Abim or not, but fine, still, can we say that the end of the Mishnah supports Rish Lakish's point? Dekatani, because the Mishnah continues, and the other way around, we said if the owner of the barrel was walking first and the owner of the beam was walking behind him, and the chavis was broken on the beam, chayev, then the one carrying the beam is chayev because he walked too fast. But if the owner of the chavis stopped and then the other one bumped into him, then the one carrying the beam is potter, because the one carrying the barrel is the careless one. Now this is more similar to the case of the this is more similar to the case where the one that's walking was where the one that's walking injured the one that was lying down, because what do we have over here? We're saying the one that was carrying the one that was carrying the barrel and who ended up getting injured, he did wrong by stopping, and therefore the other one banged into him, and therefore you can potter him. So therefore, you should say, now Rish Lakish is saying that Rish Lakish is saying that if the cow that's walking walked over the other one, then he's potter. And it should also be actually that that even if he kicks him, he should be that even if he kicks him, he should be potter. So can we say so again, that would bear out what Rish Lakish is saying, that even if the one that's walking kicked the other one, then he's potter. You could argue, like Rava says, he has no right to kick. But you could say over here that the fact is, even though the other one banged into him, you could still say that that he's potter. And because the Mishnah says that he's potter. And Tosfos points out, after all, you know, in a way you could say the one lying down over there is causing the other one to kick it. Fine, Rava says that not, because he has no right to kick. But Rish Lakish says that Rish Lakish says on the face of it, you could say that once you have the right to walk, then it's a natural thing. You find something over there that you don't like that's in the road, then you're going to kick it. And but the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. The difference is, in our Mishnah, the one carrying the beam is walking normally, so therefore you're pottering him. But over here, when it comes to the two cows, Omale, the one that's lying down, the owner of the one that's lying down, can say to the one that's walking, Nihi de Islach Rishus la Saguri Alai, sure, you have the right to walk over me, because, fine, you're talking about a case over here where I'm filling up the entire Rishus Rabim, or where there was no other way to go around, or whatever, Levo'uti be less Lach Rishusa, but you still have no permission to kick me. So therefore, and in fact, Rava, we said before, it holds exactly that way. So Rish Lakish, fine, is entitled to disagree with Rava, but the point is, you can't prove Rish Lakish's point from our Mishnah, given that it's different, because in our Mishnah, nobody's doing anything unusual, whereas in Rish Lakish's case, the one that's walking is doing something unusual by kicking. So in the end, since we had previously Rava disagreeing with Rish Lakish, the halacha ends up being like Rava's formulation of the din, which is that he has the right to walk over there. We don't say you should have walked, or we don't necessarily say you should have walked on the other side of the street, especially if the lying down animal is filling up the entire street. But nevertheless, if either one of them kicks the other one, then he's chayev. If the one that's lying down kicked, then he's certainly chayev, because he had no right to kick. And if the one that's walking kicked, then also you can say you have a right to walk. You don't have a right to kick, not like Rish Lakish. Okay, Mishnah says, if two people are walking in Rishos Rabim, echad rots ve'echad mahalich, one of them is running and the other one is walking normally, or if both of them were running, and the two of them injured one another, which actually Hagoyes Habach changes this to not change it to really, but he explains that he's ziku. Now the word he's ziku would imply that they caused hezek deliberately, but the Gemara is going to explain that's not really what it means. It means that they were injured one against the other, so they banged one into another and both of them got hurt. So really, when the Mishnah says he's ziku, it really means huzku. Well, to be exact, the Gemara over here doesn't say that. Rashi explains that later on in the Masechta, that's the distinction, when our Mishnah says he's ziku, it really means huzku. It really means that it was a passive thing. Neither of them deliberately did anything to injure the other. Then we can talk about who's chayev and who's potter. So that's how Rashi learns, in short, that the word hiziku, and then Hagoyes Habach points that out, that the hiziku over here actually really means huzku. It means they were injured, not that either one deliberately did anything. Anyway, Shneim Turin, both of them are potter, because both of them were if both of them were running, it's easy enough to understand. They're both doing something unusual. If one of them is running and the other one is walking, why is he potter? That we're going to see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Masnissin deloike Isi ben Yehuda. It seems that our Mishnah is not like Isi ben Yehuda, and we would rather have that a Stam Mishnah should go according to everybody. The Tanya, Isi ben Yehuda Omer, Rots Chayev Neshu Mishona. Isi ben Yehuda says the one who's running Tosfos, by the way, also over here mentions the same thing as Rashi mentions later on, that it means that that each of them was injured, not that he's ziku, not that they intended to cause damage. Hagoyis HaGro actually points out that that even if he's ziku, even if they actually did a maisa, nevertheless we'd be potter, because based on the Gemara we said before, if both of them are doing a maisa, we said before about the case of Hamazikas Ishtar, where only he's doing the maisa and not she, whereas over here both of them are doing a maisa. Anyway. So the Gemara says, "Masnisin b'loki isi ben Yehuda." The Tani isi ben Yehuda, I'm a rotz chayev neshu mashona. The one who's running is the one who's chayev because he's doing something unusual. Whereas on Mishnah had said that if only one of them is running, then both of them are potter. Umoide isi be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes through potter. However, isi will agree if it's erev Shabbos close to Shabbos. That he's potter because at that point he's running with Rishus to do last minute preparations for Shabbos. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ki isi ben Yehuda. So Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is like that, that when a person is running, when a person is running in Rishus Rabim, then you can be mechayev of him unless it was then you can be mechayev of him unless it's erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes. So the Gemara asks, "Me Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that? For Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah? Doesn't Rabbi Yochanan always say the halacha is like a stam mishnah? And utnan echad rotz ve'echad mahalach oyshay yishneim rotz and pturim. And our mishnah is saying that if one of them was running or both of them were running, then either way they're potter. So not like Isi ben Yehuda." And the answer is exactly that. Masnisin be'erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes. Our mishnah would be talking about where it's erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes, and therefore you can potter him. Therefore you can patter him for running. You have machlokas rishonim over here. We have a few different interesting discussions over here. First of all, you could have a person is running on erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes not because he's actually preparing for Shabbos, but just because he's running for his own purposes, but it happens to be erev Shabbos bein Hashmoshes. Is that reason enough to patter him? So the Rambam mentions that he's running because otherwise he's doing last minute things before Shabbos. In which case, the Smeh says that it means no matter what he's running for, it's considered l'kavod Shabbos because he's trying to finish things before Shabbos. On the other hand, the Nimuka Yosef brings from the Rambam that no, only if he's running l'tzorech Shabbos. If he's running for some other tzorech, then he'd be chayav. For that matter, there's an interesting discussion among Achronim. What about if he's running for some other mitzvah? The Chavis Yor brings an interesting case where a person was running to do Kiddush Levana and caused damage. Can you be mechayev him or not? Would we say that this din that we're saying over here of Rotz Berashos applies to other mitzvahs as well? So first, the Chavis Yor wants to say that in fact he should be potter because the fact is he has a right to run for other mitzvahs as well. And then in the end, he says that actually, the difference is Shabbos, you have a deadline, Kiddush Levana, that the guy was running to. Yeah, eventually, you have a few days from now, you have a deadline. Right now, he's just running to be able to do it together with the Tzibur. That's not reason enough to be considered. He could always do Kiddush Levana B'yachid, or do it another night or something. And therefore, that's not reason enough to be considered him, to be considered that he's running for a mitzvah. Anyway, the Gemara says, Mimai, where do we see that in our... Where do we see that in our Mishnah, that it's Davka talking about Erev Shabbos ben Hashmoshes, and therefore that our Mishnah fits according to Isi ben Yehuda? Midikotani, Oshar Yishneim Rotzim Pturim. Because the Mishnah continues with the case where both of them are running and we're saying they're potter. Now you have to ask, Hotru Lomali, why does the Mishnah need to add that point? You could realize, obviously, Hashta, Echad Rotz ve'Echad Mahalach Potter, if you're saying that even if one of them is running and the other one is walking normally, so one of them did something that he unusual and the other one not, and still we're saying Potter, Shneim Rotzin Miboya, would you need to be saying when both of them are running? Ela Hochikama, obviously the Mishnah must mean Echad Rotz ve'Echad Mahalach Potter, when one of them is running and the other one is walking, then the one who's running Potter, and the Mishnah is evidently implying, Bamed Vonam Amurim, when would that apply? Be'erev Shabbos Ben Hashmoshes, because then he has a right to run to finish up things before Shabbos. Ava B'choyl, but if it was on weekdays, Echad Rotz ve'Echad Mahalach Chayev, then we would say if one of them is running and the other one is walking, we would actually say he's Chayev, the Mishnah is implying. Shneim rotzin, but if both of them are running, afilu b'chol p'turin, then they'd be potter even on weekdays, because you can't say that any one of them did any more of a shinui or any more of a maisa than the other. So yes, the Mishnah then therefore would be implying the distinction that Isi ben Yehuda makes, and therefore that the Mishnah can be like him as well. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can say that halacha is like Isi ben Yehuda, and also say that halacha kastam Mishnah, and those two things don't contradict one another. Okay, the Gemara says Omamar. So now we said in the Braisa that Umoyde Isi be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmasa shu potter mepnei sherotz b'rushus, because at that point he's running b'rushus because he has to finish up things before Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, the Gemara asks, Be'erev Shabbos, my birshus ikka. What exactly is the birshus on Erev Shabbos? Meaning part of the question is, in other words, that we're talking Ben Ashmoshes. Rabbeinu Yohonasan explains that it's one thing, yeah, if we're talking earlier in the day on Shabbos. And by the way, poskim say that when we say over here, Erev Shabbos, Ben Ashmoshes, this din over here that you're allowed to be running, and therefore that you potter for Nezakin, is actually not talking about Davka Ben Ashmoshes. Means anything from Chatzoy Sayyim and onward. Then the question becomes, well, by Bein Hashmashas, what preparations for Shabbos are you still doing? You should have finished all your preparations by that point. Many things you're not even allowed to do during Bein. There's a few things you're allowed to do Bein Hashmashas. The Mishnah in Shabbos mentions you're allowed to still take Meiser from Dmai. You're allowed to do Atmana. You're allowed to wrap up your insulate your food for Shabbos. There's a couple of things, but still, it's not usual that you have much to do still Bein Hashmashas. So the answer is Kedirah Chanina. Fine, but you can be running. You can be running Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashas the way Rab Chanina did. The Amr of Chanina, Boyu Venetzi, the Kras Kala Malkasa, he would tell his Talmidim, come, let's go out to greet the Kala, the queen, which is Shabbos. So, in other words, they would actually go out of the city, and we find in later times the Arizal had a similar minhag. So, we don't, why we don't go out of the city is a good question. We're busy people. I guess you could say if we're in New York, you'd have to go miles to get out of the city. But whatever, the point is that we symbolically do that. That's why we turn around to the west. By the end of a Chodori, because symbolically the Shabbos is coming from the west. It comes from where the sun sets, and the sun sets in the west. Therefore, that is why we turn around by Bori B'Shalom, and we face towards the west as though we're going out to greet Shabbos. So Rav Chanina would tell his Talmidim, come, let's go out and greet the Kala, the queen.
But they wouldn't run, though.
But the point is, they could run if they have to run, then they could. They could run to catch up with him. That they should all go together to welcome Shabbos if it's getting late. Yeah, but Amrila or others say that he would use the expression "Likras Shabbos Kala Malkus." That he would specifically mention in honor of to greet Shabbos the Kala, the queen. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yana misatif fakoy. Rabbi Yana did not go out. He would wrap himself in beautiful clothing, look over Shabbos, fakoy, and he would stand where he is, the Omar, and he would say, the Mukha Yosef actually has a girsa that he would dance. But anyway, the Omar, and he would say, boy kala, that he would also say, come kala, that again, the same way as Rabbi Chanina called it kala malkasa, he would call it kala. So we see that there's a mitzvah to run in order to greet Shabbos.
I wonder if Bemo or special people used to smoke a long thing Erev Shabbos.
Erev Shabbos, it's brought that the Baal Shem Tov used to smoke his pipe. Yeah, I don't know if that was related. That may have been one of his preparations to cover Shabbos. But Marsha points out over here that you have Reb Chanina is taking the view that the Chosin goes to greet the Kala like by the Badekinish. On the other hand, Rabbi Yana is taking the view that the Chosin stays where he is, and the Kala comes to him, like the way you have by the Chuppah. So each one is relating to Shabbos, like a Kala to Shabbos, like a Chosin and Kala, but taking different approaches of what stage of the relationship are we at, basically. And we have an Chassidus that talks about the idea that in the Maimer for the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin's wedding, it talks about the idea that you have the Chosin goes first to the Kala, and that way he starts lifting her up to his level, and then he stands there, and then she circles around him, and that creates that now they're united together. So in the same way over here, Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yanai are doing that. The reason why Marshall also adds, the Medrash says that the Shabbos complained to Hashem. It said every other day of the week has a partner. One way of looking at it is you can say Sunday goes with Monday, Tuesday goes with Wednesday, etc. The other way you can look at it is, for example, Sunday goes with Wednesday because on both of them, Shemayim was created. And on the first day, Shemayim, and on the fourth day, they're the sun and moon that are in Shemayim. And the same way the second with the fifth and so forth. But Shabbos, I'm all alone. I have no partner. And Hashem says the Jewish people will be your partner. Therefore, we're the chosin and Shabbos is the kala.
So maybe Hashem rests then, and you rest.
Yeah, but that's the point. In other words, that Hashem said the Jewish people will be your benzu, will be your partner. Okay. all right. The Mishnah says, if a person is chopping wood in Rosh Hashanah, Hamavakeya just means he's chopping. Agoyes Habach adds the, Agoyes Habach flips around the cases in the Mishnah, but whatever. Anyway, Hamavakeya Rosh Hashanah, a person is chopping wood standing in Rosh Hashanah, Vehizik Rosh Hashanah, and he causes damage in Rosh Hashanah because a piece of wood or something flies off, or the axe head itself flies off and hits something in Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, Vehizik Rosh Hashanah, or Rosh Hashanah, Vehizik Rosh Hashanah, Acher, or he's chopping in his Rosh Hashanah and it flies off and causes damage in a different Rosh Hashanah. In all those cases, Chayev, in all these cases, he's Chayev for the consequences of that. Maseres Hashas over here refers to a Tosfos later on in the Masechta, and then in the next parak that deals with the question to what if when we say that here when we say that he's chayev again, are we talking about that? So Tosfos says that you have over there. You could say in our Mishnah, you could say that. So now, what happens? In other words, now the Mishnah is talking about three cases: Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, or one Rosh Hashanah to another. What about within the same Rosh Hashanah? What about if he's chopping in his Rosh Hashanah and somebody in that same Rosh Hashanah gets injured? Tosfos says that you could argue that then there's two sfeikas. After all, something might not fly off in the first place, and even if it does, somebody else might not be there to be injured. So therefore, that's a different case. Whereas later on in the Masechta, we're actually going to talk about. Where in the next parak, we're actually going to talk about a case where a person was in the same reshus and gets injured, where we can talk about whether the balabas is chayev or potter. So therefore, that's why. Because when it's in the same reshus, he has every right to say, look, first of all, I didn't even know that something is going to fly off. And second of all, I didn't know you were going to be here for it to hit you. So I had no reason to be particularly careful. But in the cases of our Mishnah, he has to be more careful. Okay, so the Gemara says with tzricha. Now we need all three cases of our Mishnah. If you have the first case where he's chopping in Rosh Hashanah and injures in Rosh Hashanah, and that's why Hagoyes Habach flips around the cases to make it fit with the order in which the Gemara is discussing. Anyway, if the Mishnah had only told us the case where he's chopping in Rosh Hashanah and it flew into Rosh Hashanah, you would say, you know why he's chayev mishum? You would say mishum deshchichi rabim, because there were a lot of people in Rosh Hashanah. He should realize at any moment somebody could be coming by, and therefore he better be careful to do his chopping in a way that doesn't cause anything to fly off and injure. But when it flies into Rosh Hashanah, nobody is there. There aren't very many people there in Rosh Hashanah. You would say, maybe not. Maybe he could say, I'm chopping my wood. I didn't know that all of a sudden somebody's going to be there in the Rosh Hashanah. If you had only the case from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you would say, because to begin with, what are you doing standing there in Rosh Hashanah and chopping wood? You had no reshus to do that over there. But when he's doing it in Rosh Hashanah and it flies into Rosh Hashanah, he had every right to be in his Rosh Hashanah and chalkboard. You would say maybe he should be potter. The Itana Hanach Tarti, and if it only mentioned those two, he would say, because each one, you have such a factor. Because in one case, there are rabbim there in the other place, and he should be careful. And in the other case, he has no reshus to be standing there in reshus at rabbim and shop in the first place. But when you're going from one reshus yachid to another, where you have both factors, neither factor applies, the loy shchichi rabbim, there's no rabbim in the other Rosh Hashanah, and to begin with, he has every right to stand in his Rosh Hashanah and chop wood. Amalois, you would think maybe he shouldn't be chayev tzricha, and therefore the Mishnah needs to tell us all three cases. Now, of course, the Mishnah could have told us only the third one, and we derive the other two from it. But the Mishnah will often do that. Loizu afzu, not only this, but even this. It'll first say the lesser chiddush and then the greater chiddush. But we have to have some kind of chiddush in the reisha, and that's the chiddush we have is that you have all these factors to consider. Okay, turn it up bottom. We learn in a brisa hanichnas lachanusa shall nagar shaloi brishus. If somebody walks into a carpenter's shop without permission, so the guy didn't tell him come in, V'nitza b'kas, a piece of wood flew off the tofchal upon him, and it banged, it hit him in the face. Umes, and he died. So Potter, the wood chopper, the carpenter, is Potter from Golos. Now Tosfos points out the Gemara is actually going to be talking about over here about being chayav by bar dvarim, being chayav in nezek and sar and so forth. Therefore, Tosfos says we can't say it's the case of mess. You have to take out the word mess from the Gemara because then you're talking about Golos rather than our bar dvarim. So therefore, so the case is that a piece of wood hit him in the face and injured him. So anyway. So then Potter would mean not he's Potter from Golos, but rather he's Potter. So Rashi learns that way, that it means Potter from Golos. Tosfos is saying that no, it means he'd be Potter from the Dalad Dvarim. The Nichnas, Birashus, on the other hand, if the other guy came in with permission, Chayev, then the carpenter is Chayev. So the Gemara says, my Chayev, in what are we mean Chayev him for? So Omar of Yesi Bachanina, Chayev, Dalad Dvarim, or Potter Migolos. It means that if there's an injury, then he's Chayev in the four things, Nezek Tzav, Ripui Sheves, because so Boshas, he's Potter, because as we've looked before, Boshas, he needed intention, and he had no intention over here, but the other ones, he's Chayev, because he's Chayev because he was Peshe. So in the case, so Rashi explains, in the Resha, where the guy came in without permission, he will be Chayev for the Nezek, because we learned in the previous Perek, Nezek you Chayev for regardless, even Bein B'Shoigeg, Bein B'Mezid, Bein B'Onus, Odom Mord L'Olam, but when it comes to the other ones, we said there has to be a certain degree of Pshia, and here, where he walked in without permission, there's no Pshia. So now when he walked in with permission, then you have the four, he's chayav for the four things, Nezek, Tzar, Rikwe, and Sheves, or Potter, me, Golos. On the other hand, if he killed the other guy, then he would be Potter from Golos, because the fish ain't doma l'yar, because this case is not like the case where two people go into a forest that we talk about on Omer Aleph, which is the classic case where the Torah talks about how somebody is chayav to go to the Orimi. Because the difference is Yar Zeller Shus and Nichnas or Zeller Shus and Nichnas. The difference is with a forest, each one is going into a place where he has equal Rishus to be. It's a forest, it's a place that's hector. Zeller Shus Kaver and Nichnas, whereas over here, he went into the other ones Rishus, and therefore you can say it's not, therefore you can't be Machayev, the carpenter, Golos, for the other guy getting killed.
That's only when he didn't ask permission.
If he didn't ask permission, right. Well, so actually, so no. So Rabbi Yossi Bab Chanina is saying, even when he went in with permission, nevertheless, he still went into the other ones with a shus, and therefore you can say it's not, again, in order to be chayiv, it would have to be a forest or someplace like that, where each one has an equal right to be. Here, the fact is, it is the carpenter's store. The other guy just has permission to come in. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi Bab Chanina says that's reason enough to actually to patter him from Golos. But Omar Rova Kavachomer. And Tosfos discusses, by the way, that the fact is, if the carpenter sees him coming in, then shouldn't he be chayiv for that alone? He knows that he's there. So Tosfos says a couple of possibilities. One of them being that the Braise is talking about that he didn't see him, but still he should know that. Why is the guy saying I want to come in? Because he wants to come in, and therefore that means you have to take extra care. So Omar Rava. So Rava asks on that. Wait, Kalvachomer Uma Yar Madach. In the case of a forest, Shazela Daita Nichnas, Shazela Daita Nichnas. Each one went over there without needing to ask permission from the other one. So Reuven, who's chopping, may not even know that Shimon is located there. Nasa Kamishin Nichnas Ladas Chaveri. Nevertheless, we consider it. The Pasuk considers it as though Shimon went there with Reuven's das, as though Reuven is expected to know that Shimon is over there, and therefore, so it's not a complete oinus, the goyla, and therefore he goes into Golos. Zeh shel das chaver nichnas, here where he went in with permission, like kol shekein, how much more so that you should be mechayev him Golos? What do you mean that he's Potter from Golos in this case? He knew that the other guy came. He knew that the other guy came in because he told him, "Come on in." And as Tosfos says, therefore, even if he didn't see him, he knows once he said, come in, then the guy's going to come in and he should watch out. So no, Ella Omar Rava, Potter Migolos, my Potter Migolos. So Rava says, you know what? What does it mean? I agree that he's Potter from Golos, not like Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina is saying because it's an onus. Frakert, Doloi Sagile Begolos. It's not enough for him to go into Golos. He's going to have to. In other words, you have three cases. You have onus. You have shogig and you have shogig karev lemezid or something or things like that. Only in the case of shogig Do we say that he goes to the Ori Mikla? In the case of Oynesi's Potter, and in the case of Shogin Korov Lamezid, what we actually say is that Ori Mikla is not enough of a kapara for him. From now on, he's going to have to watch himself. He's going to have to watch his back, because the Goyal Adam can be going and trying to get him, and he and going to the Ori Mikla won't protect him. So therefore, Robert says that's the same, because that's why. Because the Ori Mikla only protects somebody where it was a Shogin, not where it was like this, a Shogin Korov Lamezid, where he was extra careless. So that's not the kind of case where the Torah says that only Miklat will help him. So therefore, he's going to have to watch him. He's going to have to watch his back, because the Goyal Adam is going to be constantly trying to come after him.
I thought the Miklat means that if the relative comes and does something, then the relative will be chayif. If not,
but that's only when the person, only when the Torah says that he has to go to the Ori Miklat, which is only the case of Shogig, only the middle case. In the case of Onus, he's not required to.
And protecting them, the watching comes and goes out.
Yeah, I mean, in the case where he's in the Ori Miklat as a shogig, then the Goyal Adam is not allowed to kill him. If he does, if he's in the Ori Miklat and he kills him, then the Goyal Adam himself is chayiv misa. But if the guy is shogig Korov Lamezid in the first place, the Ori Miklat are not built in. It doesn't protect him. So now he can go to the Ori Miklat if he wants, but it's not going to help him. Either way, the Goyal Adam still has every right to kill him wherever he finds him. So that's what Rava is saying. That's the scenario over here. Because behind the time of the Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, so that's why Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is saying he's potter from Golos, Mishum Dehavale Shogig Korov Amazed, because the Shogig, that's tantamount to Amazed, because he gave permission to the other guy to come in, so he should have realized the guy may have come in already, and then I should be stopping, chopping, or I should chop more gently so I don't accidentally hit him. But Masiv Rava, so now Rava himself points out a contradiction to this. Actually, Hagoris Habach changes the previous one to Rabba, in which case we have Rabba asking the bring up the point, explaining Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, and then Rava asking a question. Anyway, a Mishnah says in Makkos, you have a case where a person is getting Malkos, and the Mishnah is now we know a person is supposed to get 39 Malkos. Now, so what happens? So now let's say, so now we know that doctors evaluate him ahead of time. They figure out how many malchus he can get. Let's say, to take a simple case, we know that he could take 39 malchus. So then if he ends up dying in the middle of it, then nothing happens. We don't hold the shliach based and responsible, because he's acting b'rashus. He was supposed to give him 39 malchus. He couldn't have known that this was going to happen. But the Mishnah says, hoisif lo ritzua achas, but if he added even one extra lash, mess, and then the other guy died, Hareza Goyal Al Yodai, the one who's giving the Malkus, goes into Golos. Now, Vahahacha Shogig Korov Lamezid, the Shogig Korov Lamezidu, isn't this a case of Shogig Korov Lamezid? The boy Asukia died to the Maisi Inshi Bechodaratsua. He should have realized the person might die because of one extra lash, because Tony Hareza Gola, and was saying he does go into Golos. So what are you telling me, that in a Shogig Korov Lamezid, he doesn't go into Golos? This is a Shogig Korov Lamezid, and he does go into Golos. So Omer of Shimi Min Ha'Da. So Omer of Shimi Min Ha'Da to Toy B'Minyana. So we're talking about that he mixed up the count. He lost count where he was, and that's why he ended up giving an extra one. Not because he was deliberately not even Shogig Korov Lamezid, where he was careless. It's just that he lost count, so that would be a shame. But Tofach Le Rava B'Sandale, Rava banged on his shoe. Rashi says two possibilities. It can mean that he tapped Rav Shimi's shoe as if to say, what are you talking about? Or the other possibility, it means his own shoe. He like kicked gently Rav Shimi with his own shoe. Either way, the point is he's disagreeing. He's saying, how could you say such a thing? Omalei says Otto who money is the one who's giving the Malkus, the one who counts. V'hatanya, we learn in a brisa. Godosh about Dayanim Kore, the eldest, the most senior of the Dayanim doing the Malkus, says the Psukim that it says over there in the Mishnah, of Hifla Shemas Makos Psukim, Psukim from the Toychacha in Parshas Kisara. Vasheni Moina, the second eldest Dayan is the one who does the count. Vashlishi Oma Hakehu, and the third one every time tells the Shliach Beisdin, whip him. So in other words, so you have the first one is saying the psukim, the second one says, okay, we're up to number 27, and the third one says, okay, hit him with lash number 27. So therefore we see the one who's doing the lashing is not counting at all. So what are you telling me, that he got mixed up on the count? Fine, what it means is the Dayan himself made a mistake, and that caused the Shliach Beis Din to add extra. So therefore, so he's really a Shogig, because he's not the one he's not the one who missed the count. So therefore, you can really consider. So now he's still not an oinus, because he could have kept count in his own mind. So you can't consider him a total oinus. But nevertheless, you can consider him shogeg, and therefore he goes to the oinim. Okay. But the Gemara says, so fine, you're telling me that anytime shogeg could have amazed, you're telling me he doesn't go to the Orim Miklat because then the Orim Miklat won't help him. So Mesvi, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says, Hazurdah kasa evan lo shosarabim, if a person throws a rock into the shosarabim, vahorag, and he kills somebody there with shogeg, hareza gola, then he goes into golos. Now, what do you mean? Throwing a rock into the shosarabim, vahahacha shogeg kodav, the shogeg kodav lamezidu, isn't this a classic shogeg kodav lamezid? The boy la'asuki adaita de shosarabim shrithi, and he should have realized there were lots of people in the shosarabim, and he shouldn't just be throwing rocks over there. Vikatoni hareza gola, and the Mishnah is saying he goes into golos. According to Rava, how does that work out? So the answer is Amr of Shmuel by Yitzchak besoisus koisloi. We're talking about where a person is tearing down his wall. We're not talking about he's stamp throwing rocks for the fun of it. We're talking about that he's tearing his wall down, and therefore he has to do something with the rocks. Well, the Gemara says he borrowed a yuni. Still, he should pay attention, realize that there are people in Rosh Hashanah, and pay attention and not just throw the rocks. The answer is besoisus balayla. You can be talking about where he's tearing it down at night. There aren't as many people in Rosh Hashanah, so it's not so kodav l'mezid. So the Gemara says, "Balayla nami barulele iyuni." Even by night, he should be paying attention, make sure that there's nobody in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, "No, b'sosuus kosla b'yom la'ashba." Fine, we are talking about he's tearing it down by day, but not he's throwing it into Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah had used the expression that he throws to Rosh Hashanah, but it doesn't mean like the actual Rosh Hashanah where everybody is always walking and congregating. Rather, we mean he threw it into a trash in Rosh Hashanah. But the Gemara asks, "Hi, Ashba Hechidomi. What exactly is the scenario? If there are many people that are constantly around that trash heap, then Mezid, who then it's a Shogeg Kodav LeMezid, because he should realize that there are people there. Ve'ilo Shchichi Rabim, and if it's the kind of place where nobody ever goes, then Onusu, then it's an Onus. How could he imagine that somebody is going to pass there right at that moment?" We're talking about a trash heap where people regularly go to the bathroom by it by night, but not by day. By day, you need more tznius because there are people around. So this place is too publicly situated for people to use it as a bathroom by day, but they'll use it by night. The ikud mikri the yosiv, but sometimes it happens even during the daytime. Somebody might sit there and use it. So therefore, mezid lo yhavi, you can't call him kodav lo mezid, because after all, it's not, so he's tearing down his wall by day. He doesn't expect that somebody is going to be there by day, because usually there aren't. So therefore, you can't call him a mezid, or kodav lo mezid. Onus nami lo yhavi, on the other hand, you can't call him an onus, do'iku demikru v'yosif, because sometimes people do sit over there, even during the day. So therefore, you can call him a shogeg, and that is the example of shogeg, where he's going to go to the onim mikvah. So it can still be the case that you don't, that it can still be the case that you, that a person doesn't go to the Orem Mikvah when he's shogeg kodav lamezid, but this case is not shogeg kodav lamezid, but rather plain shogeg.
Well, it's kodav lamezid. It's could be used.
You know? No, that's what we're saying. It's not usual that people use it by day. Once in a while, once a month, or once whatever, it may happen that somebody uses. So therefore, you have to call out, and if you didn't, he's careless, but not to the extent that it would be kodav lamezid, that we should say that he can't go to the Orem Mikvah and he has to watch his back for the rest of his life. So far let's recap. We said Reb Yossi Reb Chanina had pointed out that Reb Yossi Reb Chanina had said that in the case of our Mishnah Nichnas Bereshus Chayev, we said Chayev Dalav Dvarim Potter Migolos, and then that led into this whole discussion. Why exactly is he potter from Golos? And that led us into discussion of Shogeg Kodav Lamezid. Now though, Rav Papa Mishmei de Rava Masni La Aresha. Rav Papa says in the name of Rava that actually the whole discussion is not in connection with the Sefer of the Mishnah where he told him, come on in, but rather the Resha when the person went in without Rishus. Where the Mishnah had said, "Anichnas lachanusa shal nago shaloi b'rishus," he walked in without rishus. The nitzalei b'kas v'tofchalei upon of a mess. A piece of wood flew out and hit him in the face, and he died. Potter. Then we said the carpenter is potter. Amar Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina. So now Rav Papa is saying that his version of the discussion went that Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina said on that din chayev avod bonim a potter megolus. When we say that he's potter, we mean he's only potter from golus, but he would still be chayev in avod bonim. So if he got injured, then there's the dalad dvarim. If he died, then he's potter from golus. Rashi explains because he saw that he came in, so therefore he should have paid attention. Tosfos says in that case he should be chayev golus as well. So Tosfos draws a distinction between when he came in Bereshus, so you have to be concerned. He may not have gone out that fast either. You don't necessarily pay attention to when he goes out. After all, it's like a forest. Then again, you know, people go in and go out all the time. You don't know when he went in or when he went out. As the Gemara is going to say over here, we're talking about a specific case. When we're talking about his apprentice, the one that he's teaching to be the next generation carpenter, the Gemara is going to say that's a special case. So the Gemara points out, man de masni la sefer, the first version that said that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, was referring to the sefer, kol shekein ha-reisha, he would say all the more so in the reisha, where he went in without permission, that you can't send him into golus because he killed the other guy. Because in the first case of the Mishnah, it's more of an onus because he came in without permission. Oman de masnim la resha, but the version that says that it goes on the resha, he would say avala sefer lo. He would say no, it doesn't apply to the sefer. Kibin de b'rishus chayev, because he came in with rishus chayev golos. Therefore, the carpenter has to be chayev golos because he did give him permission to come in. So the Gemara says, "Mi chayev golos." Still, how can you be mechayev and golos for that? V'hatanya hanichnas lachanusa shel napoch. A brayza says that if a person goes into a blacksmith shop, v'nitzan nitzoytzes, a spark flew out from where the guy is hammering, v'tof cholay aponav, and it hit him in the face, umes, and he died. Potter. Then the blacksmith is potter from golos. V'afilu nichnas b'rishus, even if the other guy came in with permission. So we see that even when he came in with permission, he's still potter from golos. So how can you say that? How can you say that there's a version according to which if he comes in with Rishus, then the blacksmith or the carpenter should be chayav golus? The answer is hocha b'yaskin b'shulya de napchi, because that last braisa is talking about where he's an apprentice, he's a talmid who's learning how to become the next blacksmith. So therefore, you can say you potter. What do you mean shulya de napchi b'michtel lekoi? What does that mean? The Gemara says you have a right to kill the master, the teacher has a right to kill the student. No, the point is, should Rabbi Misar have Berlotzis, the master is telling him, please get out of here, or is insisting, please get out of here, I want to do my work, and he's not going out. So what? So does that give him a right to kill him if he doesn't listen? And the answer is exactly that. He figures once he told him, please leave, he figures the guy left. So therefore he's not careful now. Now he's not expected to be so careful when he's doing his hammering to make sure that a spark doesn't fly out and hit him.
But even when he's careful, the sparks don't go the wrong way. Or chip goes the wrong
no,
way.
But that's the point. In other words, he being an expert blacksmith, he should know how to hammer or chop or whatever in a way that won't cause it to fly in a different direction. When nobody's around, he figures I can just do it as fast as possible. I don't care where the sparks fly. When somebody's around, he does it more carefully or whatever, do more slowly or whatever. So the one asks the Hochi Achanami, well, by that logic, the same thing should apply even if it was somebody else. Why are we limiting it only to a student? And the answer is Achar Lesla Em Sed Rabbe, because a different person doesn't fear his teacher. So I told him to get out of here. It doesn't mean that he actually listened. But in this case of the Talmud, Isla Im Sederabe, you can expect he has respect for his teacher. So he has more reason to think that once I told him go out of here, that he would actually listen. Therefore, we have more reason to think that therefore, in fact, he did listen, and therefore that he should be, and therefore you have more reason to patter the teacher than you would if it was in any other case.
It would be looking absolutely awesome because there's someone, a stranger comes in and the guy says, listen, this is dangerous. Get the heck out, because you know this guy died. You know
that may be.
Don't just get used to it.
That may be, but nevertheless, here the Gemara is saying that once you tell him Misadav, but you're telling him get out of here, then we expect the Talmud is more likely to listen than a stranger. So therefore, by a Talmud, you have more reason to say that he should be potter. That would be the Braisa that we just quoted, whereas we said according to one version of what Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina is saying, he would actually be chayev golus where it was somebody else, because he told him go out of here doesn't mean that he should expect the other person actually listen.
Guess
we talk
about yeshivas out of town, but they listen.
Yes. All right. Everyone.